comes to our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every praise is to Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be with you here this morning. We'd like to read from Luke, the second chapter, verses 25 through 30. Luke, the second chapter, verses 25 through 30. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, the Holy Ghost wasn't in him because it hadn't been fulfilled. The sacrifice hadn't been offered, so the Holy Spirit couldn't come and dwell in him. But the Holy Ghost could come upon you, just as the Holy Ghost can come upon people today and still not be in them. And it was revealed unto him. It was revealed unto him by the church that by listening to the tape, we're going to get somewhere here this morning. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, he didn't have one scripture for this. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy rhema. This wasn't logos. This was rhema. God had spoke to him by the Holy Spirit. According to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads this morning. Lord, we would see Jesus this morning. Lord, what a grand privilege it would be to walk beside the one that dwelt in the one-piece robe and walked the seashores of Galilee. Lord, that worked as a carpenter in the city of Nazareth, that healed the sick, that raised the dead, that spoke on the mountain, the Beatitudes. What a privilege that would be this morning. What an honor. How our hearts would burn for that opportunity. But Lord, we have a greater opportunity than that this morning. The very one that dwelled in him is now amongst us this morning. And Lord, we can know you personally. We can walk with you personally and not just have you with us, but we can have you in us. So Lord, we're so privileged this morning, and we don't want to take that for granted. We want to recognize what's available to us this morning. And Lord, we've worshiped and sung the songs of Zion this morning. And now, Lord, we pray that you administer to us in truth. And Father, may each one receive the portion that they have need of. We're looking to you, Lord, because we're just, as human beings, we're totally insufficient, Lord. As human beings, we don't know most of the time what it is that we really have need of, but you do, Lord. So we surrender to you as human beings this morning, but also as born-again sons and daughters of your kingdom. And Lord, we ask that you would break forth the bread of life once again, that you'd minister to each and every need. And Lord, we surely give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to title the thought here this morning, Christ Revealed to You. We hear the term so many times, Christ revealed, and that's a wonderful thing. And I'm not in any way minimizing that, but Christ revealed to you. So we notice here that Simeon knew the Old Testament scriptures. He was a man that the world would not have perhaps taken a second look at. He was getting Later in years, he was an older priest working in the tabernacle of the Lord, and he served God. He worshiped God. He was a devout man. He loved the Lord. And he knew the prophecies concerning the coming of Christ to Israel. He knew the logos concerning the coming of the Christ. And at some point in time, while Simeon was just doing the everyday things, watching the little things in his life, the Lord spoke to him, Rhema word. It wasn't because he did a marathon search of the message. It wasn't because he found a quote that had been missing or overlooked. It wasn't even logos that came to him. The scriptures doesn't say a thing about where this came from. All we have is just a few scriptures here concerning Simeon's experience and how the Lord led him and spoke to him. And yet this is a tremendous event that had taken place. And the message of the hour doesn't shed really any more light on it than what we have here in the scriptures. But we read here that the Holy Ghost came over him. And perhaps, we don't know, but perhaps the very words that were spoken came out of his own mouth. And maybe out of his own mouth into his own ears. All we know is that the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And what he heard was that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now imagine what these words must have meant to him. Especially knowing that he's later on in years. But not only that, not just the fact that he's coming towards the end of his road, but word that had been laying in the scriptures concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus, concerning the birth of the Lord, concerning the Messiah that was going to come. These promises had been laying in the scrolls for thousands of years. And yet he's hearing that this day, this scripture is going to be fulfilled. And as we know, when God speaks Rhema word, nothing can keep that word from coming to pass. It's settled. It's going to happen. When God spoke to Mary, it was Rhema word. These things are going to happen. And those things were going to happen regardless of what her thoughts were concerning it. But Mary had to have faith for her own walk. Mary had to have faith for her own leading in her life. And God was going to bring that forth no matter what. But Mary still had a walk of her own. Just as Simeon had a walk of his own. So we don't know how much time there was that passed between these Rhema words being spoken to Simeon before they were fulfilled. We don't know if it was the night before. We don't know if it was a month before. 2 years, 5 years. We don't know. But time is not a factor when it comes to God's word. Time is immaterial. It has nothing to do with the promise. Imagine maybe sickness came upon Simeon after the Holy Ghost had revealed this to him. But Simeon could know for a surety that this sickness wasn't unto death. It wasn't going to hold him back because he had a promise that was given to him. A word had been spoken to him that had to come to pass. You're not going to see death until with your own eyes you behold the salvation of the Lord. Imagine discouragement coming along. Do we get discouraged? We've been given so many promises, exceeding great and precious promises. But yet, we're human beings, and we're going through the cycles of life, and there are times when maybe we can't see anything good going on around us. Maybe we feel like we're completely alone. Maybe we feel like we're just laying there and just pulling pages off the calendar, going from one day to the next. There are times that we go through these things, but it doesn't affect the promise of God concerning us. So our minds might go up and down and our eyes might get dim and then they might get bright again. But the promise of God is not altered at all. Here he is in old age. And maybe there was some times that even came, you know, we don't know how long it was, but maybe there were times that came where he wondered, now, did I just imagine that, or is this real? Am I just maybe slipping some gears? Or did that promise, was that promise really uttered to me? But it didn't matter whether his mind went up or down, or his eyesight got clear and got cloudy. The promise of God concerning him was still marching on. Now, there's no logos word that Simeon could read that would tell him. For instance, let's say his name was Henry. There was no logos word that said, Henry, you will see the Lord's Christ. You will see the Lord's salvation before you die. There was no logos that said that. You couldn't find it in the Old Testament. And yet Simeon was living in a time before the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he was told by the very Holy Ghost that's living in you this morning, this great thing. The Holy Ghost came upon him. Now, if we're not careful, we'll look at that and we'll say, oh, that's just so tremendous. And I wish that would happen in my life. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He speaks to you all the time. So when the time came, the Scripture says he was led by the Holy Ghost to the temple, to the tabernacle. And the Holy Ghost revealed to him which one it was. And there might have been other boys that were being brought to the tabernacle that day to be dedicated to the Lord. According to Leviticus, the second chapter, a male child would be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. And then the mother was purified for 33 days before she could enter into the temple. Now, I don't know if that's 33 days from the time of birth or 33 days from the time of the circumcision, but there's 33 days that had to transpire or pass before she was allowed to enter into the temple. But when that time came, and it was 66 days if it was a female child. I don't know why it was twice as long, but maybe the female child's going to be twice as much trouble. No. But it was 33 days before the woman was cleansed could be brought into the tabernacle of the Lord, where they brought two turtle doves as an offering and to the priest, and they brought their son unto the Lord and were dedicating the son to the Lord, and the priest would raise that child up and say, Lord, this came from you, and now this family is dedicating this child to you and putting him back in your hands and realizing or recognizing that this life comes from you, and now, Lord, watch over this life and guide him and use this one as he comes of age. But mom and dad are going to do everything they can to raise him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But, Lord, we're trusting you. I started from the very beginning. That's from the very beginning, the family was committing this child to the Lord. And it was 33 years before the church brought this very same sacrifice, the church being the type of the female. The church brought this very same sacrifice to the Lord, but this time to be an offering, not as, Lord, thank you, and we're offering him unto you, but Lord, this is our propitiation for our sins. He's the two turtle doves. He's the sin offering. He's the one that will take away the sins of the world. So it was revealed to Simeon what was going to take place. And when he beheld the Christ in his own arms and blessed God, the Scripture says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy rhema, according to thy living word, according to what you have spoken unto me. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now think about it. His physical eyes were no doubt dim. His physical eyes were aged. He might have had cataracts for all we know. He might have been almost blind. He might not have been able to distinguish physical characteristics of this child from another child. And yet his eyes had seen the salvation of the Lord. It wasn't the physical so much as it was, this is the manifestation of your promise. This is the Logos, or the Logos becoming flesh, that will become our salvation. So really, it wasn't even yet a vindicated word. It wasn't yet quickened word. But yet the word had to become flesh first. And he was believing unto. He was believing that his eyes had beheld the word becoming flesh that would become our salvation. Now, how did he know that this was the Lord's salvation? Where did he read that in the Word? Friends, it's the same thing for you and I that are living in this day. God reveals himself to each one of us personally through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and shows you who you are. He first shows you who he is, and then he shows you who you are. And it doesn't matter if anybody knows who you are or whether they don't. And it doesn't matter if anybody else ever recognizes who he is. You know who he is. And then he takes that word, that logos, and places it in your hands. And then he speaks rhema to you so that your eyes become open to what you are holding in your own hands. And then your eyes behold the Christ, the Son of the living God, as you see that word manifested in your day. It's no longer mom said, or dad said, or the church said, or the pastor said, and those things are all good, or Brother Branham said. That's really wonderful. We can quote him day in and day out, inside and outside. But unless that becomes real to you, it's no different than reading a newspaper. Your eyes have to behold the Christ. And once your eyes become open to the promises of God in your day, and the person of the Lord Jesus makes himself real to you in your day, nothing's going to sidetrack you. Oh, you'll get discouraged, you'll get forgetful, you'll go through times where your mind seems like it's doubting, you'll go through times when it seems like you're discouraged or you're despairing, but there's something deeper down on the inside of you, and there's a revealing that takes place, not just once, but it's the beginning of him revealing himself to you from that point on. And he's not upon you any longer, but now he's in you. So now your eyes behold the living word. And nothing can sidetrack you. It's you that he's speaking to. He's no longer, it's not whosoever will, it's no longer the church or this one or that one, but it's you personally. And his word to you cannot fail. Until then, you're learning about him. And that's wonderful and that's good. And moms and dads, that's our job. As parents, our job is to teach our children about him. Our job is to instruct them in his ways. Our job is to do what we can to try to shelter them for that time when they've got to meet him themselves. But the one thing we can't do for them is to give them that life. The one thing that we can't do for them is to reveal to them Jesus Christ. Because only that is reserved for Him and for Him only. And He will reveal Himself to each and every one personally. So we labor to train them and raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. We commit them into God's hands. But He's the one that has to reveal. The pastor can't do it. When mom and dad have done everything they can, and then junior is, or junior Etta or whatever, they're being tested. They're making their choices. They're making their decisions. You couldn't make God real to them. The pastor can't. The deacons can't. That's something that's reserved to God and to God alone. It's painful to watch, but it was painful for you to experience yourself. It had to become something that was life or death to you. Even in the times when it was almost life and death, it still wasn't good enough. It's got to get to the place where, God, if you don't do something, if you don't make yourself real to me, I don't want to live. I don't want to go on. I can't do this. I don't have another plan. I don't have something in my back pocket that I can go back to. It's you or nothing. So until we meet Him personally in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we're learning about Him. And that's good. I'm not minimizing that at all. That's part of the process. You got to learn about Him before you can learn of Him. But there's a time when we have to meet Him personally. And it's not just special for some people. And it doesn't matter what happens once we've met Him. We go on with Him, come what may. We don't want to see the whole church split up and one go in this direction and one go in that direction and this one denying the message and that one denying Christ. We don't want to see that. But once you've met Him, all of that can happen and you're still going on. What others do will not affect. It'll affect how you feel. It'll affect you physically. It'll affect you mentally, emotionally, but it will not affect you spiritually. And it won't hold you back. We want everybody to make it. And if we don't, there's something wrong with us. And it kills us when we see others being tested and tried. And when we see others walking away. And Satan will make a real big deal out of that. And those that just totally turn their back on the Lord, you'll hear more about that than you'll hear about the true believer. And then reasonings will arise, and debates will arise, and questions will be asked. Silly questions. Unfruitful questions. Striving questions. Challenges are made. But like with Brother Branham, when his daughter was laying there on her deathbed, and she was in so much pain that her eyes were crossing, and Satan came along and said to him, after all you've done, you've dedicated your whole life to Him. You've foregone family life in a lot of times for other people. All you've done is for Him. And all you asked for is your little baby. And now He's turned His back on you. And what Satan was saying was, you know, he never tells you a total lie. There was a black sheet there. He wasn't hearing from God. It looked like everything that Satan was saying. And to the human mind, you could just go off into extreme depression. You could go off and try to get the whole church depressed right along with you. Right? And just look how horrible it is and how bad it is. Friends, let's quit making God so small. Look at how bad this situation is, the worst. Nobody's ever had it this bad. Oh, let's all just feel so sorry. We feel for one another. We suffer when others suffer. But God is in control. And He's greater than anything that we can go through. And in those situations, He's waiting to prove Himself. Brother Branham said it was the most treacherous moment in his life. Because humanly speaking, he was about ready to say, "You're right. I've had it. I quit. I recant. I don't believe in Malachi 4 anymore. It ain't me. I don't believe that God's given me a message. I don't believe I'm the forerunner. I don't believe this and I don't believe that. I'm done. I quit." And everybody says, "Oh yeah, we don't blame you, buddy. Look at all you're going through." But before he could utter any stupid human words, something else came up that had come down by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Something else rose up in him. And he said instead, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Something held in spite of where he might have went with it. Friends, he was a human being just like you and I. And without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he might have quit like others have. You might have quit like others have. But there's something in you that can't quit. There's something in you that won't quit. And you can't prove it to anybody. You can't even prove it to yourself. But by faith, you know that it's there. And it's leading you and it's guiding you. And it speaks at the least expected times. You're ready to throw in the towel and something raises up. You think, "You know what? I'm done. I'm not going back to that church. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm just going to go on vacation. I'm not going to maybe go off into sin or anything, but I'm done. I'm not going to try to be friends with anybody anymore because I've got hurt so many times." And something raises up in you. It says, "Settle down. You're my son. You're my daughter. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Friends, in times like that, that's not the time for us to have a pity party. Although you can't take away the pain or the reality of the pain. But when you've done all you know to do, now you've got to trust God. And it doesn't matter what the promise is, you're going to be tested on it. "Well, doesn't the pastor care? Doesn't this one care? Why? Because I didn't cry when you told it to me? Don't you think the pastor goes through anything? Well, he's not crying, so he must not." Friends, you don't know what everybody's going through. But what you know is that God is leading and guiding each and every one, and every Logos word that you claim to believe will have to be proven. You're going to have to stand there and be tested. "God, I raised my child according to your word. I did what I know to do. I committed my child into your hands. Now, Lord, you're not going to lose this one. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I've done all I can do." It doesn't matter what the promise that God has given you. You've got to be tested on it. You've got to have that moment of pain. You've got to have that time when you don't know where to look. You've got to have that time when you wonder, "Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this?" You've got to have that time when Satan will come along and say, "Well, it's because you're not very good. Or you're not a good Christian. Or you're not a good enough Christian. or because you made this mistake, or because you did this, or because you did that. That's just the devil talking to you, friends. God has given you logos. In this case, let's use the case of family. God has given you logos concerning your family. Now, whether or not it becomes rhema to you depends on you. If you're not willing to step out with faith, because that's the part that you've got to do, you'll never hear the rhema of God. But God wants to prove it. But in order to prove it, you've got to have times when you look like an idiot. You've got to have times when you don't have an answer. You got to have times when it looks like, there was a place where they were saying things about Jesus and just being real nasty to him, and he blushed. Brother Brown said he blushed. So it shows us that we'll get embarrassed. That we'll have times when we're humiliated. We'll have times when we look like we're left holding the bag. But the question is, are you going to stand on God's word? Or are you going to look at the circumstances? Are you going to trust God? You say, well, I'm struggling to believe that that's for me. That's a wonderful statement that you just made. That's being honest, that's the best thing you can do. To pretend, you'll never get it. But if you just be honest, I'm trying to believe this with all my heart, but Satan's telling me because of this, that, the other, and it isn't real to me yet that promise is speaking directly to me. Well, now you know what to pray for. Lord, make it real to me. Reveal that to me. So that I can get settled in it. So that I can stand and say, come what may. Whether the ship goes up, whether it goes down, whether it goes into port or out of port, I will see this come to pass. So there, it starts out even the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if we take that as an example this morning. That starts out as Logos word. It's not real to you yet, but it's a promise. A promise that's given to you. And you have to receive it as Logos word. But then he has to reveal it to you. And when he does, then that Logos word becomes Rhema word. And you can say that he is the Christ. And after he does so, you're still going to have times of doubt and fear and ups and downs. That's the human part. You're not going to get away from this humanness until your body's changed. But the human part isn't true. There'll be times when you can't give an answer to all the challenges that are brought before you. But you know him. And he will reveal to you his word in due season. And even if there are questions that are never answered in your life, your confidence is still in him. And you can't be shaken off course. Because there's something down on the inside of you that's going to keep you. And it's not because you suddenly have superhuman abilities. It's not because you're operating mind over matter. It's not just being positive. And it's not survival of the fittest. But it's the rhema of God to you personally. And it is that living word in you that's going to see you through. Without him in the center of our being, we could, every one of us, be pulled this way or that. Don't ever get in your mind, well, I never would have done this. Or I never would have done that. And why isn't this person just this? And why isn't that person just that? You have no idea what he's kept you from. You have no idea when you make statements like that, that except the grace of God in your life, that would be you. And maybe it wasn't this thing, but it was something else. Without Him in the center of our being, we would all look for peace and satisfaction in Satan's counterfeits. Because we all need peace. And we all look for peace. But He's our peace now. Listen to this. This is from Jehovah Jireh. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard, the revelation of Jesus Christ to His people, and have the privilege of living in this day, that all the patriarchs and prophets and apostles and great men in years gone by has longed to see this day. They could only rise on the scene, those ancient prophets, and see the very thing that they saw in them years now being done, what an evangelistic service there would be. So He's saying, if they could only see the manifestation of what you're seeing. He said, perhaps locked in jails. Call them crazy people. He said that they'd get so stirred up. They'd get locked up. They would be just shouting and rolling the streets. He says, we live in the day to see all of this that they saw by faith, but not by sight. Now you're seeing it by sight. Even if you don't see it by faith, you're seeing it by sight. You're beholding the fulfillment of the Word in your day. You're beholding the Christ in your day. You're living in a day when the Son of Man is being revealed. Your eyes are beholding the Christ. Your eyes are beholding the living Word revealed to you and manifested to you and in you and through you. And that's what's keeping you in this hour. Now, friends, it's the same Holy Ghost throughout the church ages. When we talk about the Son of Man being revealed, it's not a different Christ. But what it is it's showing more of an office. It's showing more of what He's going to do or how He's going to do it. Just like Son of David, the King, when Christ sits on the throne, it's not a different Christ. But what it shows is how He's going to operate or how He's going to reveal Himself or what He's going to manifest. In this day, it's the same Christ that we've had throughout the ages, but now He's revealing Himself in His Word. And through His Word. He's been leading and guiding the church throughout the ages. But the Word has been bound by traditions. The Holy Spirit has been bound by the blindness of man, the traditions of man. But now He's revealing Himself in the fullness of His Word. But He's not just revealing Himself in the fullness of His Word, but He's making Himself real to you. Now, we can't give this to anybody. Brother Baker, I want you to give so-and-so the Holy Ghost. I can't. Now, I will lay hands on, I'll pray, I'll encourage, I'll instruct, I'll guide, I'll pray. I'll do all those things, the same thing that you do. But I have no magic formula that you don't have. I can't open anybody's eyes. I can't make anybody see anything. In fact, I can't make myself see anything. He has to reveal it to me. So we raise our children according to His Word, and we labor to see them walk in a personal relationship with the Lord, but in the end, we can't do everything for them. They must meet Him also. And He has to reveal to them what He's revealed to you. And many will struggle to get to the place where they finally let go. And they finally get desperate enough to fully surrender to Him. 99% surrender is not a surrender. And Satan will prove to each and every one of us that we can't do this on our own. Well, I'm just going to try not to do this, and I'm just going to try not to do that. Let me know how it works out, because it won't. And even after the Lord has revealed Himself to us, and even after He showed us who we are in Him, we still experience human mind battles. But there's something invisible that's down on the inside of us that's keeping us. Even when we can't see how we will make it, even when we thought we were going to quit, something held. This is from the Message Thirst. I love all the Message, but there are certain things that are just, you know, because of your makeup, because of what you go through in life, there are certain things that maybe just are pork chops to you. Or whatever your favorite part of the roast is, you know. This Message Thirst, it has meant so much to me because it was the first time in my life where I'm hearing a message that's describing what I'm going through. Nobody else understood what I was going through. My wife didn't understand. As precious as she was and as much as she loved me, she'd have done anything for me. But she couldn't do this for me. And she couldn't understand this thirst that I had down on the inside. She couldn't understand that. Nobody can. You don't understand it. Until He answers. Then you find out it was a holy thirst. Not a feel sorry thirst, but a holy thirst. That you're blessed to have that thirst. Because you're given a promise. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. It doesn't say blessed are those that are casual about it. It says blessed are those that hunger and thirst. He says, let me tell you something. When you're worshiping God in the Spirit and in truth, when it becomes a custom for you to do it, because you think you ought to do it, because you think if you don't shout or jump up and down or dance with the music, that your neighbor's going to think that you're backslid. He says you're drinking from a stagnated stream. Until it fills every fiber. Until the Holy Spirit itself is bubbling in you, I don't care whether the music is playing, whether they're playing Nearer My God to Thee, or whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is still ringing the glory bells in your heart. That satisfies. That's God's satisfying portion. Anything less than that and you're done, He says. You might speak with tongues like men and angels, and you might give all your goods to feed the poor. You might prophesy. You might have knowledge. You might understand all the mysteries and all these things, and you still become nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, he's quoting Paul. Until that satisfying something that can only quench that thirst. My soul thirsts for the living God. Like a hart or a deer panting for the water brook. Unless I can find it, I will perish. He says, when you get to hungering for God like that, something's going to take place. The Holy Spirit is to lead you to those great fountains of God. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will lead you just like He did Simeon. To see the Christ, the promised word of your day. Imagine when Mary and Joseph came to Simeon with this child. How ordinary they looked. And worse than that, weren't there question marks hanging over them? No doubt people are watching them as they're coming into the tabernacle. Isn't this the one that didn't we hear that she said an angel spoke to her? Aren't they saying that the one that she just gave birth to is a Messiah? And didn't she go have a talk with her, as the story goes, with her cousin Elizabeth? And when she shared this news with Elizabeth, Elizabeth said that she felt that life that was in her kicking at 6 months, and the baby hadn't moved, and she'd been given a promise, and she was a little concerned that it was still Logos. But at the first mention of His name, what was in her womb became Rhema. Became living word. Isn't that the same fanatic? Didn't we hear that they were just down here in a stable somewhere? And, you know, they came into the city and there was no room for them in the inn. And didn't she have that baby in a barn or something? You know, actually, I'm sure they've washed up and all that, but they kind of still smell like sheep, don't they? So here they come in and people are probably looking at them thinking, I can't believe she's got a lot of nerve coming in here with that baby. You know, that baby being born out of wedlock and all that. Virgin birth, how convenient. And she's even got her husband believing that. That guy is sure, boy, we ought to sell him some swamp land. He's an easy mark. Wacky people. Ordinary looking people. What reasoning could be presented to Simeon to prove that that little helpless baby wrapped in the cloth of a Levite is the salvation of the Lord? An ordinary looking child. No doubt mama had to quiet it a few times. But Simeon wasn't walking by sight. He was being led by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, come to church today. And you're going to see the living Christ. I wonder how many times he does that for us. We're thinking, oh, it's hopeless, and I'm going through this, and I'm going through that. And the Holy Spirit says, just go to church. But I don't understand. How's that going to help? And, you know, my need is specific. Nobody in the church is going through what I'm going through. He knows. Why don't you come to church and behold the Christ? No doubt Simeon faced opposition on this day. Maybe he got up and, you know, the disc kind of fluctuated in his back and made a little funny move, and then his memory kicked in. You know, it had been kind of moving in and out, but his memory kicked in and said, remember the last time your disc did that? You probably shouldn't go to church today. Because the last time you did that, you were in pain. You had to go stand up. Why is everybody looking around? I'm sure if we talk enough here this morning, there'll be something that somebody can relate to. I don't care if you can relate to it or not. These things are real. Satan is going to come to you with something. The Holy Spirit moves on you. But you're not going to hear a voice speaking to you saying, I am Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I'm the one that was wearing the one-piece robe. And now I'm here to tell you, go to church. Yes, sir. Okay. It'll sound like even your own voice. God leads each and every one of us different. We don't know what's inside of one another's heads. And it don't matter. All we know is that you recognize His voice. It might sound like a voice that you've heard in your own head since you were born. But what's being said is different than what you would have thought. You know, like when the Lord tells you to give something to somebody. Well, you know that's not your voice because you don't want to do it. Praise the Lord. Maybe you felt tired that morning. Maybe you had the sniffles. I was up all night with my daughter. I was up all night with my son. I was up all night with, you know, and I was running to the bathroom. Why is it that only happens on Sunday? Oh, Brother Baker, that's horrible. How could you make... Are you calling me a liar? No, I'm just saying that battle comes to you on a Sunday. And it doesn't come to you on a Monday. Why? Because the devil doesn't care if you go to work. He doesn't want you to come to church. So maybe doubts even arose in his mind. And friends, doubts are not, it's not disbelief, it's temptation. It's when we give in to it and put God's word away. But the Holy Ghost was leading him. He's an old man now. And maybe his eyesight is dim and maybe he can't see the difference in these babies. And there's no record here of him saying, oh, what if I picked the wrong one? Maybe I better describe exactly what he looks like to one of these younger ones that have real good eyesight. And then make sure that they point this one out. He's going to be wearing a blue suit and a scepter in his right hand or whatever. He didn't have a clue what this baby, as far as we know, what this baby was going to look like. But the Holy Spirit was leading him. You don't know what Christ is going to look like in your life either. So Mary, who had already received the rhema of God also to her, she's watching this take place. Oh, how encouraging that must have been to her and her family that morning. You know, God can speak to other people concerning things that you're going through. And maybe they don't even know about it. But it just has a way of just further making God that much more real to you. You know, like just this last Wednesday night, I'm preparing to speak on a certain subject. And you know that the Lord's leading you and guiding you. And it's not just some kind of a random thing that you don't just close your eyes and open up the Bible and go, okay, let's go on this. But it's as the Lord leads. But then someone gets up and prays and what they're praying for is what you studied. Well, they may never know. It doesn't matter. But you know that the Lord spoke to you, and you know the same one that spoke to you had spoke to that person, whether they know it or not. Mary knew the Lord had spoken to her, and she saw the fruit of it. But now she's hearing it through some other lips. And Jesus was yet the Logos of God. He wasn't the quickened word yet. He wasn't the Savior. He would become our Savior after He became our sacrifice, after He was filled with the Holy Ghost, after He was quickened, after He was tempted and tried and tested and proven and examined and washed. So this was the Logos, or the Logos, that would be quickened and would become the salvation of the Lord. And so is it with you and I. Logos comes to you in this day, and it's Logos, but it's a promise for you and I that's going to take place. But to you, when God quickens it to you, it doesn't matter that it's still in the future. It's yours right now. And not only, so Jesus was yet the Logos of God, as we said. And He was going to become the salvation of the Lord. The same thing's true about you and I this morning. The rapture is still Logos word to you. The wedding supper is still Logos word to you. But it is your Logos word, and it will be quickened to you and in you. And guess what? You are Logos word that will become Rhema word as well. And you hath He quickened. You become written epistles, read of all men. You become living word. But until then, you're Logos word. So there was a scripture in the Old Testament spoken through the lips of the prophet Isaiah that said, a virgin shall conceive. And that was Logos word for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But one day, that Logos word became Rhema word to Mary. And then Mary became Rhema word concerning the promise. Likewise, the Logos word concerning the Christ became flesh. And while it was yet Logos word, it was revealed to Simeon that it would become Rhema word in his day. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy Rhema. For mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. How did his eyes see the salvation of the Lord? This was yet Logos. This is a baby crying in mom and dad's arms. And yet he's looking at the prophesied word and speaking of the thing that isn't as though it is. And that's the last we hear of Simeon. He departed in peace. He walked into the Rhema promise, and he walked out with the Rhema fulfillment in his life. The Lord's peace went with him, and nothing else mattered. We don't know if he even told anybody. Now, the priest of the Old Testament had been looking for this to take place. And now Simeon is kind of representing the Old Testament priesthood. Now the Old Testament priesthood could walk out in peace, seeing the salvation of the Lord and the high priest coming into manifestation. Brother Brown says again, paragraph 147 in the Message Thirst, he says, now there's a good thing to worship in the Spirit. He says, that's true, but sometimes you have Spirit without truth. St. John 4 said, we worship God, Spirit and truth, and Jesus is the truth. That's exactly right, and He is the Word. The streams God sent to satisfy you in the natural, Satan has polluted every one of them. So that means God has something to satisfy each and every one of us this morning. And Satan has got there ahead of time to try to pollute that stream. He has put the poison dope in everyone that he could get into. That's right. He took that great stream out of the church. We were supposed to have a satisfying portion in our worship, in our praise. Satan came right in there and polluted it. Speaking in tongues, wonderful thing. Satan came right in there and polluted it. He says, that was God's way. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. He says, now, there's different arguments of that. The Roman people, the Catholics, say he built the church upon Peter. See, and if that be so, Peter backslid in a few days, so it wasn't that. It sure wasn't built upon Peter, Petra, the little rock. And then the Protestant says, well, no, it wasn't built upon Peter. He built it upon himself, Jesus Christ. He says, not to be different, but I differ with them. He never built it on either one. It wasn't built on the man Jesus Christ, and it wasn't built on the man Peter. He built it upon the revelation, or the revealing, or the unfolding, spirit-wise, of who he is. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's Holy Spirit. Not by knowledge. You didn't learn it by books. You didn't learn it by joining church. You didn't learn it in the shouts. But the Holy Ghost itself has brought the person of Jesus Christ to you. Then upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That holy thirst has been satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ. There you are. That's the thing we want to look for. Satisfy that thirst with that. He says, all right, we find that now that we must. So, Jesus Christ becoming real to you is not him appearing to you in a dream, in a one-piece robe, with long hair, and tears in his eyes, or however it is that, as wonderful as that might be, that's not him revealing himself to you. Because it isn't the human part. that's being revealed to you. It's the Spirit. The same Spirit that dwelled in him being revealed to you. And you can't see it, but you believe it. So it's Christ, the living Word, revealed to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Paul says, now this is a very familiar scripture. Very familiar. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's very familiar, isn't it? And I've read this and read this and read this, and I've walked away because of my traditional thinking and my traditional upbringing. I've walked away saying, well, you know, we can't even imagine what God has prepared for it. We can't know it. There's no way we can know this. Because eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it even entered in. We'll just have to wait till we get there. But let's read the next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So what he's saying here is that your eyes haven't seen it, your ears haven't heard it, it hasn't entered into the natural heart of man, you can't imagine it. But get born again of the Spirit, and he'll reveal these things unto you. The things that are mysteries to other people will no longer be a mystery to you because you're in a relationship with him. And he'll show you these things. And you'll wonder, why doesn't everybody see this? Because he's not revealing it to everybody. Well, that don't sound fair. Well, they won't die out like you did. Friends, we look at it, we say, well, it just doesn't seem fair. You know, God chose and he's not, he won't choose this one and he chose that one. But really, when it comes down to it, only the chosen of God are going to die out. They alone have that real deep thirst for a walk with him. There's something in them that's crying out. He made you that way on purpose. Notice that. But God hath revealed them to us. Not by logos, but by rhema, by his Spirit. Oh, but we just can't humanly imagine these things. We just can't humanly know these things. That's right. Humanly, you can't. But God can and will reveal to you the things that he has prepared for you that love him. The bride hears from him all the time. And he reveals himself to each and every member of that bride body. It's not just for some. And it is rhema. That's what I want you to hear this morning. Friends, it is wish. You know, when it became real to you, I had hungered and thirsted for 29 years before it became real to me. And when it became real to me, when I finally completely died out, and the revealed word came across my path, such as it hadn't come across my path before. And I died out, and he became real to me. I wanted everybody to meet this one. I wanted everybody to receive this one. I wanted everybody to know him. That hasn't changed. I still do. But I tried. I tried to make it happen. That's all I spoke about when I got around other people, because it was what I needed. It's what I craved. It's what I'd hungered and thirsted, and now I've got that satisfying portion. Now I can depart in peace. Now the Lord can take me off the scene right now, this minute, and I'm going to be with him. I know he's not going to lose me. I know I'm his by his Spirit. My Spirit bears witness with his Spirit that I am a son of God. And I knew it then. Before I knew all these other things that supposedly you've got to do to make sure that you're going to make it. Now God had more for me. He had further plans and things that had to be worked out in my life, and which time has bore out. But I knew then. that if I were to go into the grave that very day, His peace is going with me. I can now depart in peace, for I have seen the salvation of the Lord in my life. The revelation of Jesus Christ to me personally. So you want to just tell everybody. And so I kind of developed a reputation because of my zeal and because of the burning desire. I wanted everybody to receive the Holy Ghost. And anytime I would just talk about Him for a little bit, His presence would come around. And some people would even see the pillar of fire as I'm over my head as I'm talking about it. I sure felt His presence. But whether I feel His presence or not, He said, I'll be with you even in you. I thought, well, if I could just explain it a little better. You know, because this was hidden from me. And now it's in plain view. So if I could just point it out. I labored to get to this place. If I could just take all the labor out for everybody and get them to just come and surrender, the same thing will happen. Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. But within just less than a year, the Lord showed me in my infancy. Less than a year, the Lord showed me, look, this is my doing. This ain't your doing. I said, I will do this. No one can come to the Father except the Father first draw. You're trying to make them thirsty. You're trying to, you know, some cases even shame them to it. You know, show them that they're naked with their religion. And here's a living God. Right? And as good as that sounded, and as nice as that sounds, you know, if I could just get everybody filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't. But if somebody's hungering and thirsting, and you're bringing forth the words of life, it's going to take place. If that person will surrender, amen? And maybe some need to hear, you know, because they've been mistaught, maybe there's been a hunger and a thirst there for years, and they've struggled, and they've tried to satisfy that thirst with this, and tried to satisfy it with that, which I did in religion, and ended up addicted to cigarettes, and addicted to this, and addicted to that, and couldn't quit anything on my own. You had to get the quitter. There are those that have been raised in our ranks, a whole generation that are no different than I was. In that I knew about God. Okay, maybe they were raised more in the present truth that's unfolding, but they still don't know God. And they've been told that all you got to do is hear Brother Branham and believe him. And that's the new birth. It isn't the new birth. When He reveals Himself to you, it will be from that point on, rhema after rhema after rhema after rhema. You will hear the living voice of the living God. And you may or may not find some of that living voice in the Word. Written exactly as He's speaking it to you. It won't contradict His Word. It will agree with the Word, but now it's to you personally. So it's not something outside of the logos of God, but it's the Holy Spirit wooing you and revealing these things to you. And many times, the Holy Spirit will speak things to you that will remain hidden in your heart. Maybe you won't even share it with your own mate, and that's fine, because it's not a public show. It's between you and him. It's personal to you. It's intimate. It's what you need to hear. Paul said the Spirit searches the deep things of God, the hidden things of God, the things in the back part of His mind, the things down in His heart, in the realm of the Spirit. and reveals them to his beloved. Let me just be real flat here this morning. You won't find these things that Paul's talking about on tape. Oh, but I was hearing a tape and God revealed to me. Yes, but what he revealed to you wasn't on the tape. What he revealed to you was in your heart. It was him speaking to you, because another person could hear the very same words and it's not revealed to them. And you can't just go do a computer search to find it either. They are secrets of the Lord revealed to his bride. So tape listeners alone won't hear it from the tape. It's revealed by the Spirit. Quickly now, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Proverbs 3:32. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. So he's not going to reveal himself to the froward, the arguers, the debaters, the strivers. God hates that. Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Now, you won't find too many places in the New Testament where Jesus rejoiced. But he's rejoicing right here. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. But here he's rejoicing. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. He's talking about being revealed by the Spirit. Now, a babe is not a studier of the scrolls. Now, don't take this the wrong way. Don't run out of here. Well, Brother Baker said we don't ever need to study and we don't need to read the word and all that. Of course you do. But you're not going to reveal anything to yourself by studying. So a babe is not a studier of the scrolls, because these things that he's speaking of were hidden from those that were studying the scrolls. So no matter how hard they studied, no matter how hard they tried, no matter how much they tried to pry out these things that are freely revealed to babes, they couldn't do it. Because it isn't logos. It's rhema. It's revealed by the Spirit. And he promised that he would reveal these things to you and I. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fluster. We don't have to labor in these things. He promised. So the wise will say, what things? What are you talking about? Just show me. Prove it to me. You can't. First of all, you can't show it to him. You didn't show it to yourself. He did. But yet you know it's the Spirit leading you, and you know it's the Spirit speaking to you, and you know it's the Spirit that's revealing these things to you. But you can't maybe prove it by the Logos. You say, well, give me an example. Okay, I'm glad you asked. You cannot prove from the Logos of God that you are the chosen of God. You go out of this building and say, I'm the chosen of God. You want to start a fight with somebody? Say that. They're going to say, oh, you arrogant little pup. You little babe. Thank you. Prove it to me. Well, the Lord showed. I don't want to hear the Lord showed you nothing. Show me in the Logos. Where does it say in the Logos that you're the chosen of God? It doesn't. Nowhere in the Logos of God does it say Doug Baker is the chosen of God. Doesn't say that. You cannot prove from the Logos of God that you're going in the rapture. Where does it say in the Logos of God that I, Doug Baker, will go in the rapture? Where does it say in the Logos that the rapture is going to take place in my day? Well, you know, here's the signs and here's this, that, and the other. It doesn't say it, though. You'd have to interpret those events to say that it's your day. And people have been doing that for thousands of years. But something's different with you. I believe, friends, that those that go in this age are receiving a revelation that hasn't been given until this day. They were believing by faith in every age, taking God at His word. But in this age, we know. Why? Because He's revealing it to you. Where does it say that Elijah the prophet is going to be born in Kentucky in a log cabin on April 6, 1909? Where does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say his daddy will be a moonshiner and kill somebody in a knife fight? And where does it say that? It doesn't. Where does it say in the Logos that he will come this morning on December 17th, 2017 and speak to you and encourage you? Oh, but he said he'll lead me and guide me and we're two or three or more gathered and da-da-da-da-da. That's all good. I believe that and all that, but for it to apply to you, where does it say that? Because why doesn't that work for everybody? So we can quote all that we've been taught, and we can memorize every Logos word of God to where we stutter just exactly right, and we can place the things in the Bible in history, and we can make the statement, I believe it all, and intellectually we can believe it all. That's good. Nothing against that. But we can do all of that and still not know the Christ. Still not hear the rhema of God speaking in our lives. And He has so much to tell you. How many knows that's true? He has so much to tell you. But He couldn't tell you until you were born again of the Spirit of God. I mean, that's one of the first questions that we have when God makes Himself real to us. Why did I have to go this long? Or am I the only one that asked that question? And then He begins to take the things that are written, the things that we've heard, and then He begins to also take so many things that are not written, and He begins to make it real to you. Listen to this, John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So He had been saying so many things to the disciples, but they weren't getting any of it. But they were hearing it. They were hearing the Logos word as it was going forth. He says, but now it's not going to be just hitting your auditory nerve in your ear and coming into the gray matter of your brain and moving around through your spirit. But now it's going to come down and speak right out of your soul. And you're going to hear with a sense that you didn't know that you had. John 15:26, next chapter, He says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. So it's the Spirit of truth that's speaking to you, which is the Christ. It's the Spirit of truth that's leading you. It's the Spirit of truth that's making Himself known to you. It's the Spirit of truth that's whispering His love secrets to you. Things that were once secret that only He knew. Things that were hidden in His heart. Do you realize, friends, that God is revealing things to you and I personally in this hour things that he never revealed to angels. Seraphims don't know what we're talking about. Archangels have never seen some of the things that you and I are seeing. But unto babes, unto those that are born again into another kingdom, not to the know-it-alls, but to the know-nothings. Those that can learn, in other words. Those that can forget everything that they know and now hear from him. Let him tutor them. Let him guide them, lead them into all truth. Now, all truth doesn't mean you're going to know everything. But what it means is whatever truth that he's revealing in your day, he'll reveal it to you. He's not going to leave you out of it. Just talking with someone here the other night about something that the Lord has been showing me lately that showed me that I had some traditional thinking about something, and now the Lord's showing me in a way, and it's like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. And the response right away was, well, if he showed it to you, he's showing it to people all over the world. That's exactly right. This is not a private interpretation. The word doesn't come to you only, but it's the Spirit of the Lord. I mean, I didn't raise my hand and say, you know, I realize I'm not seeing something right, so just show me this. I didn't. Once you see it, you just realize the tender hand of Jehovah, because you couldn't make that real to yourself. And it's not like you're trying to believe something traditional. It's just that you don't know any better until he shows you. So all this, you know, these mysteries that people want to reveal to you, they try to shame you into it, beat you into it, scare you into it, but God doesn't work that way. That's not how he works. He reveals it to you. And when he does, you're like, whoa, Lord, I would have totally missed that. In fact, I did totally miss that. Those that can learn, those that can hear from him, those that are led by his Spirit, as Simeon was led by his Spirit to the Lord's salvation. Let's stand this morning. He's doing that for each and every one of us. Every one of us are being led to see the Lord's salvation in our day. To see the word that was promised become real in your day. Not an idea, not a story. As much as we like stories, and I'll tell you what, these Bible stories, you couldn't improve on them. The truth is so much better than fiction. Just the stories alone are astounding. But it's more than a story. It's life. It's a person. It's reality. It's Christ revealed to you. Now, anytime you preach on a subject like this, there will be babes that are learning, that are in a walk with them, that it is so natural that maybe either they're taking it for granted, or they got low self-esteem, or they don't think much about themselves, or maybe they don't see all of what God's doing in their life at any particular moment. And Satan will come along and say, well, are you really sure? What Brother Baker's talking about, are you really sure? But it's so simple and so common when he speaks to you and as he leads you. And you can't explain the comfort that it gives you. And you know that you're seeing things you never saw before. You're not fighting it. You're not bucking it. It's just becoming part of you. Well, don't go get the backhoe out and go digging up your experience. Say, well, mine doesn't sound supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It's different for everybody. What's the same is he's leading you. He's guiding you. Your trust is in him. You have a question, he answers you. You have a need, he provides. You're wondering, are you speaking to me? And he says, yes, I'm speaking to you. It won't be an audible voice. But something down on the inside just witnesses to that. By his Spirit. I think that some of the most, you know, we've got We have a few different examples from those that are ranked, raised up in the message of the hour that, you know, from their earliest, they don't remember ever not knowing the message. You got some that have never come to know Him, and you got some that have known Him in their whole life. And they've progressed. And they've had an experience with Him. And it's just one thing is added to another and to another and to another. But there weren't Roman candles that were going off. And you got some of us that came out of nowhere. Didn't know which end was up. And we can surely tell the difference. Because we've been lied to for so long. The truth had been hidden from us. We didn't know who the God of the Scripture was. And it depended on what denomination we got around that what Jesus they wanted us to worship. And when He made Himself real to us, there's just no getting away from it. But it doesn't mean that He's more real to us than He is to somebody that grew up in the message. That doesn't mean we're any more special. It just means we came from a different path. But He's just as real to you as He is to me. And I'm trusting Him. You're trusting Him just as much as I'm trusting Him. And you doubt just as much as I doubt. And you fear just as much as I fear. Oh, really? Those things happen? Don't lie to yourself, the church, or take your halo off this morning. We're all tempted by those things. Satan comes knocking at our door all the time. Why? Because the word is being proven in your life. And there'll come times when you cannot give an answer. Satan will say, prove it to me. Prove to me you've got the Holy Ghost. It ain't up to me to prove. He said it. I can't prove it to you anyway, devil. And even if I could, you still wouldn't believe it. Remember, He's the one that said, well, just come down off the cross. We'll believe you. No, they didn't believe Him then. Why would they believe Him if He... Scripture says, though one raised from the dead, they will not believe. You believe because you're a believer. Not because somebody can prove something to you. But because He's real to you. So I don't know. Maybe I didn't describe where you're at in that spectrum. But what I can say to you this morning is that if you don't know Him in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if He hasn't become the center of your being, if He hasn't shown you, if you haven't come to the place where you've completely let go and said, God, pick up my life and take it, you can have that. And if there's a deep down desire in your heart for it, that's the best evidence that you have that it is for you. The world doesn't care. If you're struggling with things in life and struggling to try to be a Christian, and the harder you struggle, the harder you fall. I don't feel sorry for you. That was me. Why should you get it any easier? Oh my. It's quiet this morning. I had to be humiliated. I had to get to the point where I could say, you know what? Best intentions, but I couldn't do it. And I felt sorry for myself. But then the Lord showed me, what are you doing that for? All that's being proven is that you can't do it. And now you're going to have to trust in somebody that can. It's no different for any of us, friends. None of us can do it. We all need a greater power. We all need the Christ, the Son of the living God. We all need Him to personally guide us and lead us. You won't look any different to other people. You might not look any different to church members other than the peace that you're carrying around with you. But you have something that you didn't have before. And He promised to lead each and every one of us by His Spirit. Amen. Those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen. Listen, friends, You can be raised. This is a real treacherous part. Let me back up here for just a moment. Let me bring it from a Baptist standpoint. If you're raised in the Baptist church, you still have to come to the place in your life where you surrender to God in the Baptist church and profess Him as your Lord and Savior, get baptized. Nobody can do that for you. You still have to get there. You can be raised in it, hear about it, teach, have a part in it, but you still have to get to the place, even in the denominations, where it becomes something that you're professing. Well, it's no different in our own ranks. Mom and Dad raise you up. You're not supposed to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost at 5 years old. Because at 5 years old, you don't know you're a sinner. There's nothing to repent from. If you were to die at 5 years old, you'll go to God. You have to reach that age of accountability, whatever it is, to where you realize that you're separated from God and that you need a Savior. That it has to become more in quotes in scriptures. And you can grow up in that, and then things can ripple through the church, and you haven't been born again yet. And things can ripple through the move of God. And Satan can come along, well, how do you know? What about this quote? What about the cloud? What about this? And what about that? And you're no match for the devil. And you're not going to be able to come up with answers to everything that everybody raises. And maybe it'll cause you to wonder and get discouraged. And, wow, am I following what's real? And how do I know this is real? What that's showing you is that it's got to be real to you personally. And instead of looking at it and saying, well, this all sounded so sure and now I'm not sure anymore. Well, don't look at that as a negative. And don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because of what other people have done. What you don't realize is that if you stick around long enough, you're going to see that those that have recanted the message are going to recant God. I mean, they're picking and choosing what they don't believe. The prophet brought us the truth on water baptism. Are they going to throw that out? He brought us the truth on there being one God. Are they going to throw that out? He brought us the truth on serpent seed. Are they going to throw that out? I mean, picking and choosing. But eventually, they're going to have to walk completely away from the Word. They will. Because it was never real to them. And nobody can intellectually prove it to them. What they're saying is they need a birth. That they've been going along and now it needs to become real. It's true for all of us. It has to become real to all of us at some point. So forget about what other people, vain disputations and questions and all that. And just say, God, if this is true, prove it to me. Make yourself real to me. Not through an argument, but personally. Convince me, Lord. Make it real to me. Show me, Lord, that I'm not going to hell. That's what I wanted to know at first. I got a whole lot more than I bargained for. A whole lot more than I was asking. I just wanted to know that I wasn't going to go to hell. But He showed me, I never intended to send you to hell. Hell wasn't created for you. It was created for Satan and his angels. You're not one of his kids. You're mine. That's why you've been miserable. That's why you never did fit in, because you're a misfit. But there is a place where you fit. Glory to God. The musicians would come. Vain disputations, arguments. There's a mistake here. There's this here. It never was about that for those of us that are born again of the Spirit of God. You're not walking by sight. You're walking by faith. And faith is real. God is revealing Himself to you each and every step of the way. It doesn't matter. The whole world can say this is not the truth, but it's too late for you. He's already proven Himself to you. When He said, behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet, that became not just Logos word, but it became Rhema word because He says, oh, by the way, I'm God and you're the one I'm talking to. And he's the one I sent to you to turn your heart. And when you listen to those tapes, you're comforted by it. What you're hearing is, you're not hearing that you're a crow. You're hearing that you're a dove. You're not hearing somebody trying to scare you into something or try to point you to himself, as all these deniers are saying. You're catching a different spirit. You're realizing that here's an instrument of God, but a brother sold out to his kingdom that God is using to turn my heart back to him. And once your heart's been turned to him, how are you going to deny the one that he used to turn your heart back to him? The argument's too late. You know, it's like we've said before, but I'll just throw it out here one more time. It's like me heading to Wilcox. In order to get to Wilcox, I need a map. And I need signs to show me where Wilcox is. Well, if I follow the map and I read the signs and the sign says Wilcox is, you know, I don't know, what is it, 90 miles or what is it, Brother Merritt? 75 miles. And I drive along and then I continue to follow I-10 and I get to another point and it says it's 40 miles. Oh, so far, so good. You know, I'm still on the right road because it said, and I'm getting closer to it. And then, lo and behold, I arrive in Wilcox and, you know, I hear about Gene Autry or whoever the horseman was. It was from, what was his name? Was that it? Did I get lucky and get it right? Somebody knows. Whatever that guy was. He's so famous, I can't remember his name. There's a horseman cowboy, you know, they even have a museum for him there out that way. I'll think of it and I'll wake you up at midnight. I'll text you. I remembered. Thanks. It doesn't matter. But once you get there and it's everything that you've been looking for, and there's signs everywhere, Wilcox, and let's say you've been there for 10 years and now somebody comes along and they says, you know what? I don't believe those signs. The signs that were pointing to Wilcox, saying this is how far it is, and it's all pointing to Wilcox. The point was Wilcox. And the point was me getting to Wilcox. And now somebody comes along and says, well, I don't believe the signs. Well, I'm sorry, you're an idiot. I'm already here. You're going to try to talk me out of the sign? The sign isn't even the question. The sign was pointing you to something. To the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this case, the sign was pointing you to him. Once you've come to find him, you're not going back and re-examining the signs. You're not going back and questioning the one that was used to turn your heart, because your heart's turned. It's the wrong argument. Who cares? The point is, you found him. Now, if you want to argue with me about that, there's nothing you can do to talk me out of that. There's nothing that you can say that can contradict what he's saying inside of me. The conversations that he and I are having, you don't know anything about. Unless you're born of the same spirit. Amen? And I don't have to tell you everything that he's telling me. To see if you're convinced or not. It doesn't matter if you're convinced. I'm convinced. That's how it has to be for each and every one of us. Amen? And it doesn't take you long to get around somebody that's met him. To know that you've got around somebody that knows the same one that you know. Amen? But if he can do it for me, you know, I know I'm belaboring, but let me just close with this. If he can do it for me, he can do it for anyone. Because Satan told me, you're the exception. God will do it for everybody but you. You're too bad. Or you're too this, or you're too that. You know, just whatever the argument was that he could come up with. You're no good. It won't work for you. You've sinned away your day of grace. Well, then why do I care? Why am I all tore up? Why am I afraid to leave this life? Because I'm not sure. Why do I care? So the devil used that on me, and used that on me, and used that on me, and beat me down until the Lord delivered me of that. And made himself real to me. And then afterward he comes along and says, well, you know, I love this. You're the only one that really needed an experience. I shared my testimony at the Tucson Tabernacle on a December meetings. And shortly after, it was said that, well, you know, low self-esteem, and, you know, the Lord just really had to do something for this brother, because, boy, was he a louse, you know. Brother Baker was just, wow, you know, boy, I was never that bad. You're worse. Because you don't know that you are that bad. Guilty of, in part, is guilty of all. So Satan actually just twisted it right around. First of all, I'm the only one that hasn't got the Holy Ghost. Everybody else has it, and they're all going to the rapture. Then when I receive the baptism, and God makes himself real to me, now it's, well, you're the only one that needed an experience like that. The rest of us, you know, we just believe. Well, I was raised with that nonsense. That's Baptist teaching. It makes you nervous when you talk about knowing him. And you're talking about it and there's people that don't know him. That makes them real nervous. And so now they've got to give an account. So it can't be something with them. It's got to be you, that because you're stirring up these. They were okay until they heard about a thirst that got answered. So Satan went from you're the only one that didn't have it to you're the only one that needed an experience. And both of them are lies. Every one of us needs to meet him. None of us can do this on our own. There's not one of us that's stronger than the rest, and that's why we're going to overcome. You're not overcoming nothing. He's already overcome. And he's going to do it through you and in you, in spite of you. And you're trusting in him for that. And he's leading you and guiding you and speaking to you living word. Amen? You can't do it. But he can and he will. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for your unfailing words of promise. Lord, we thank you for the Logos of God, and Lord, there's just no way in any one service that we can just bring a complete balance on everything and bring all sides to it. So, Lord, we're not in any way, shape, or form minimizing the Logos of God. We need that, and we rely on it, but we realize it's seed until you quicken it to us. It can be helpful, and it is helpful and useful, and Lord, even if we're raised intellectually in it from birth or from the time that we're a child until we get older, we're promised, our parents are promised that when we're old, we won't depart from it. So there'll be a lifestyle, there'll be values that we'll hold throughout our life because of being raised in the truth and around the truth. There are things that we will hold on to. It'll shape our actions. It'll shape what we do and what we don't do. And that's all good and that's all wonderful, and we're so thankful for that. But Lord, you promised to do more than that. You promised to come in and dwell in us, to quicken us, and then to make known to us things that eyes can't see, ears can't hear, things that can't enter into the heart of man. The deep things of God. But Lord, you take the deep things and they're no longer deep when you reveal them to us. It's simple because we're as little children. And because it's so simple, we want to explain it to everybody. But to them, it's something deep. It's something unimaginable because they're not hearing the same one we're hearing. Father, we've all got to be led by your Spirit. And we're thankful, Lord, to know that we are being led by your Spirit, and to Our confidence is in you. Father, if there's any under the sound of our voice this morning that doesn't know you in that way this morning, that doesn't know you in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, maybe they know all about you, but they don't know you. They can't say personally, I know I'm going to be there. There's no way I'm going to fall because he's going to keep me. I might make mistakes. I will make mistakes. I might get discouraged. I might even try to quit. But there's something in me that's not going to quit. Father, I know that that's the place that you want each and every one of us to come to, in you, where our confidence is completely and totally in you. Father, I pray that if there's anyone under the sound of our voice that's in that condition, Lord, may they forget about if doctrinal questions are raising, that if Satan has tried to draw attention to doctrine, may they set it all aside, Lord, and just say, Lord, let the God of this Bible speak to me and lead me into truth. Father, may they surrender. May they call upon you. Lord, if they call upon you in sincerity, if they surrender themselves completely, Lord, you will answer that cry. In fact, you want to do it more than we want it, but it's got to become a painful desire on our part. How much more painful it is on your part wanting to do that for us, but you're a gentleman. You're not force yourself upon anyone. Grant it this morning, Lord. We commit these things into your hands now. And our confidence is in you, Lord. We know that if your word is preached in its purity, if it's preached unadulterated, you'll honor your word. And the power is in your word, and you'll bring it to pass. You'll not allow one to fall by the wayside. Every one that you've called will come. We believe that, Lord, but it's still got to be preached. Your word still has to be sown. It still has to go forth, and your spirit still has to pull on the inside of the pull on the heartstrings and to lead and to guide to a full surrender. We believe that this morning, Lord. We're evidence of it this morning. Bless your people now, Lord. Father, perhaps we've been filled with your spirit for a short while or maybe a long while. But Lord, there's not a one of us that wouldn't say this morning, we want more of you, Lord. Like we just like a fresh outpouring of your presence in our lives, your spirit in our lives, your encouragement, your strength, your comforting. And Lord, maybe we've allowed the trials of life to become louder voices in our lives, and they can become where that's our focus, and maybe that's what we discuss with one another. But Lord, we'd rather hear your voice this morning, because your voice is hopeful, your voice is peace, your voice is comforting. You are comforting, Lord. Everything about you is a comforter, Lord. You're not scaring us or beating us or whipping us, but you're leading and guiding and protecting and comforting. We want to hear that voice, Lord. Just the tender hand of Jehovah in our lives. Grant it this morning, Lord. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.